Community Radio.
It's about real people.
Not sound bites.
Not more talking heads.
Not on this show.
Interchange is a community access media forum fostering unfiltered open dialogue on the people, issues, and events impacting life in South Central Indiana and beyond.
Conversations that challenge the ways we perceive the world around us.
Real people.
Real issues.
This is your forum.
This is Interchange.
Interchange on WFHB. I'm your host, Allison Bektesh. Tonight, I'm joined by two guests from the Bloomington Playwrights Project, Chad Rabinowitz, the producing artistic director, and the artistic associate and actor, David Sheehan. Both are involved in the Bloomington Playwrights Project current production of The Truman Show, which continues its sold-out run through February 16th. Thank you both for joining me today.
Woo, sold-out run! Woo!
Couple of characters here in the studios. It's really exciting to have you guys here talking about the Playwrights Project. So throughout the hour, we will definitely discuss the history of the Playwrights Project and what it is you guys do. We'll spend a lot of time talking about the current production that you have going on right now, The Truman Show. And we'll look into the future of the Bloomington Playwrights Project and see what you have coming up. We'll be predicting the future here.
Yes.
Live on the radio tonight. But I do want to begin just letting you introduce yourself a little bit more, both your own history within the theater and what your role at the Bloomington Playwrights Project is. So if you will begin with a little bit background information for us, that'd be great. Thanks. Chad.
Sure. Well, I'm the producing artistic director. I moved to Bloomington about 3.5 years ago. And the BPP did a national search. I was at Westport Country Playhouse in Westport, Connecticut as the artistic associate there. And one of my passions is simply new plays. And this came up. It was kind of a dream job scenario for me to be able to take a theater and bring it to the next level while also supporting new plays and new theater. And so, yeah, I've been here for 3.5 years now, and this is my fourth season that we're in the middle of. And now it's, you know, let's talk about the exciting David Sheehan.
Yeah, I'm the artistic associate here. Whitney, you were the artistic associate at the place in Connecticut, right?
Hey, that's we have crazy. A lot in common, yeah. Buddy.
Wow. So I've been with the BPP for about a year now. I started off as a volunteer, and Chad kept me around and hired me, which was very nice.
Yeah. You've had a history with the BPP before the year, right?
Yeah, that's true. Never officially. I've always been kind of on the fringe of the BPP. Been in Bloomington off and on for about 10 years and performed a lot in some of the BPP's older spaces as kind of side project-y things. But I've always believed in the mission. And when I came back to town and I heard all these great things were happening at the BPP, I decided that's where I wanted to spend my time. And that's why I'm in the studio now.
Can you explain a little further just what these roles, producer, artistic director, what that means within a theater?
Sure. Well, in most theaters, you're going to have a managing director who handles all the day-to-day business, you know, the money, and then the artistic director handles all of the programming of the season and company management, that kind of thing. And in this situation, you've got a producing artistic director, which is kind of joining them both. We still have a managing director, Jessica Reed, but my position is to handle the overall budgeting of the season, the strategic plan, the long-term plans, as well as the artistic programming, and also the fundraising and overseeing marketing. So it's kind of the all-encompassing thing while still having a managing director. And where David comes in is because, man, that's a whole lot of stuff to do.
I'm kind of a catch-all. I help Chad out and help around the office, too.
He's also acts as a company manager as well. We take great pride in how well we take care of the people who work with us because, man, we do theater for a living, and it should be fun. And we want people to come back to us. We want it to be the best experience possible, so we do everything we can to give him a educational experience and artistic experience and overall a fun one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited to talk about all the unique things about the Bloomington Playwrights Project. You touched on one just a little bit there that we'll get back to, that all your actors are paid as part of the productions. But can you just begin with talking about what I think the most unique thing, as according to your website, you're the only theater in the state of Indiana that does solely new work. Why is that? Why is that your concentration?
Because, man, we believe in the art. If theater only produced, you know, your class, if we only kept doing Shakespeare and your old-fashioned musicals, then it would essentially be a museum, right? And ultimately, there's only so many times you want to see, you know, new, just, I guess, remakes of the same painting. You want to see new art, new paintings. And so theater has a problem with that because it's difficult and it's expensive to produce new work. It takes time to develop. It doesn't always hit on all the spots right off the bat. I mean, things like if you see a Broadway musical now, oftentimes that's been workshopped for 5 to 10 years in the making. And someone has to take a stab on that in the beginning and say, this is a product that we believe in and we're going to help develop. And finding a profitable model to make it exist at the level that we can do it now is difficult. And so we're very mission-driven, and we put a lot of effort in making sure that we're revitalizing the art form.
Where are you finding these new plays? How do you come by them?
Well, we have two contests. We have our Woodward Newman Drama Award-winning competition, which is searching for the best new drama across the globe. We literally get it from all across the globe. I think I got a play from Thailand this week. Do you know?
Yeah, Hong Kong, Australia.
Yeah, and so we're literally getting them from all over. We get about 1,000 new plays submitted to us a year. And through the Woodward Newman Drama, our Reva Shiner Comedy Award-winning contest, and also dealing with agents and managers and producers who send me work. I mean, I got 5 new musicals in the past 24 hours that have been emailed to me. So I have to leave this and go read a lot.
There's a lot of reading going on.
There's a lot of reading going on.
Yeah.
Well, clearly you don't have 1,000 play season each year. What's the next step once you get all these plays and read through them? How do they become part of the season?
Well, we got about 40 readers, and David's a big part about helping those get out to our different readers, because I can't possibly read them all. And each play, we try to evaluate 2 times, and then they come across my desk, and they're rated between, 1 and 10. Then I read as much as I can, and we narrow it down piece by piece, and we look to fill slots. I think that's one of the biggest changes we made in the past couple years is it's hard to sell a new play because no one's ever heard of the title. I mean, I can say, hey, we're doing Hello, Dolly, and you can decide already if you're coming because you know what it is. If I say, hey, we're doing Ampersand, you can say, what the hell is that? And I have to make the sale. So instead of telling you it's Ampersand, I'm telling you it's the Reva Shiner Comedy Award-winning contest. And the Woodward Newman Drama, it's the best drama across. So we have those slots to fill. We have our musical slot. We've got our major playwright series. And so that helps us narrow down what it is that we're after.
And to build expectations up in our audience, too, right?
Yeah.
They can say, oh, it's a comedy. Yeah. Which is what you were driving at that whole time. I haven't talked in a while.
You haven't talked in a while. Go.
I want to talk too about, you said when it's a new play, it's a world premiere. It's literally never been in front of an audience before. You do have those moments where maybe you didn't hit exactly, you didn't realize what was going to be the most poignant moment or what was going to fall totally flat. You do mostly world premieres. Mm-hmm. For those that you do, how close does the playwright stay in touch throughout this process so that they get that feedback about their work?
We're in very close contact. I mean, we serve the playwright. So oftentimes, I mean, I'll be in touch months in advance with the playwright talking about rewrites or things that they might want to think about working on. With the instance of Truman Show, we were in talks again through the summer, and in the fall in November, they did readings in New York with different actors, and then they continued to work on it, and I sent them notes, a director sent them notes. And then they were here for multiple weeks of the process. So, I mean, you really can't beat being in the room to see how people react. And that's one of the really exciting things about the BPP is that when you're an audience there, you're the first one ever to see it. Your reaction does inform how the play is getting rewritten. All the plays are moving on in some way, and they're all getting edited. And if you don't laugh, or if you laugh really loudly, or if you cry, if you react in some way, that affects the future of the play.
When we think of a movie, like the adaptation of The Truman Show that we'll talk about later, or a book, you know, some other artistic creation that someone's completed, it's done. And what it sounds like you're saying is that plays are very fluid, that you can kind of go back and change an entire scene. You're asking them to do a rewrite. I mean, that's so different from most other masterpieces where you just have a completed product.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things about a play is that a play is a medium as well as a form of expression in itself. It's a color. You use it. What I'm saying is that you use it to create an expression just as much as it is an expression in itself. So figuring out what that color is really important to us, to, you know, get the right shades, the right hues within the work.
Well, it's also more collaborative than any other form. So you could sit and paint your masterpiece or write your major novel, but in theater it's about taking that and seeing how a design team is affected by it and is inspired by it, how the cast changes it, because, man, they're just words on a page, and any actor can take that line and make it mean anything they want to. So you want to help define that along the way, and then you do that product, and then it means nothing until the audience reacts to it. So it is a total work in progress, and we could take things and change a word here and there. We can move scenes. We have in the past couple of plays. We just take one scene and move it to the beginning, and we add new songs or cut things that aren't working. It changes, never without the playwright, though.
Okay.
Always, every single word is approved by the playwright.
I want to talk a little bit more about the organization, the Bloomington Playwrights Project. You mentioned your 40 readers. I assume those aren't all paid full-time staff members.
They are gracious volunteers.
What is the makeup of that organization?
Staff-wise, we have a whole bunch of administrative. We probably have 8 administrative staff made up of interns, managing director, David, myself. We have our technical director. We do have resident costume designers, resident sound engineer, scenic designer, and even...
electrician.
Yeah, master electrician, resident props. So we do have a whole lot of positions that are filled, that are all paid positions. And then we have a very large volunteer base for people that help us do anything from ushering to help with the box office or reading all the scripts. We have an ensemble of artists, a group of our core artists that are also a volunteer base for us, and, you know, do anything from performing in shows to working on the light board, or we have one who's a spot operator for this show, or backstage crew. So it takes a lot of people to produce these shows.
And do you have a board of directors? Is this a nonprofit? Where are the funds coming from?
We are a nonprofit. We have a board of directors. I think it's a board of 20. Like most theater companies, we make just a portion on ticket sales. For us, I'd say, we have a 90-seat black box theater. We're not going to make our... we're over $250,000 operation. Do the math. I'm going to have to charge a whole lot for ticket sales for that. So we receive funding from the state, from federal grants. Most of our support comes from within this community. It comes from donations and people who care about what it is that we do, and people who want to support not only new plays, but just because I can't say that anyone has, you know, woken up in the morning and said, man, I've always wanted to just support new plays. But when you become a part of us, it's so exciting, and it's a different theatrical experience than you get anywhere else in the state of Indiana, because you're a part of something that is ever-changing, that you're impacting, and that the majority of our shows are moving on. We have a show that just, our last Woodward Newman drama was just in L.A., and is now looking to get published. Our musical Maggie Cassidy that was in May is going to be performed at a theater 72 times our size in Seattle, and that's all based on our development of it. The Truman Show is has plans for the future as well. So it's all about being a part of this roller coaster ride that just keeps going up when you're involved with the BPP.
You talked about the theater. We're going to go to break soon, but I'm really excited to talk about the set of the Truman Show. I think that's a big character in itself. And to lay the foundation for that, can you tell me about your new space here and what's gone into even making that 90-seat black box theater?
Yeah, well, I mean, David, you were part of, you've experienced the previous spaces, right?
Yeah. And they were nice.
Wait, were you in the, I mean, we used to be before the 9th Street, we were at Washington Street.
Yeah, kind of over by the police station.
And I've only heard word of this.
But. Yeah, it was a flexible space, meaning that you could move the seats around kind of willy-nilly. And there was a big pole in the center of the stage, like a support for the roof.
So that sounds important.
Yeah, it was one of those things you couldn't really move. We don't have a pole at the new space.
Yeah, I learned that in theater class. It's one that's theater 101. Try not to put a pole in the middle of your stage.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good.
I mean, we worked with it, because you have to, because it's a big pole that's keeping the ceiling up.
A lot of Greek plays with columns.
Yes, yeah, nice. A lot of columns, new Greek plays.
Everywhere else I wanted to go with that was not appropriate for radio.
Right, yeah. So
well, so then our new space, we've been in there for about 8 years in 9th Street, and it's kind of an ever-growing increase of what we're capable of. We've been renovating for the past 2.5 years now. We've done a six-figure renovation on the whole building, so the whole lobby's been completely changed over. It's so beautiful now. Everything from every inch of space from the ceiling to the walls have been painted. The floor, new flooring, all new lighting. It's been a major undertaking. The stage has now, we've tripled the amount of lights that we can use in the show. 3 years ago we didn't have a booth. We have a brand new sound system we are installing for our next show. We just put a light up sign up front, our little marquee BPP sign. That's was months old.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen the sign yet, you should drive by. It's really neat.
Yeah, so
it glows at night.
It does. It does glow at night, just like you.
Yeah, thank you,
what?
Chad.
I know that's weird.
I'm luminous.
You are. So yeah, it's just we're just always looking for ways to get better and better, and it's been exciting to be a part of.
All right, we are going to go to a break now. Here in the studio with me is Chad Rabinowitz and David Sheehan from the Bloomington Playwrights Project. I'm Allison Bechtesh for Interchange. We're going to take this break and then hear about the current run of The Truman Show. Allison Bechtesh. join with me in the studio today from the Bloomington Playwrights Project, Chad Rabinovich, who is the producing artistic director, and the artistic associate, David Sheehan. David, you're also an actor, and in the current performance of The Truman Show, which is currently, again, in its sold-out run through the 16th at the Bloomington Playwrights Project. I didn't know that until you walked in today that it'd be sold out. So.
Woo! Yay!
That's it. That's congratulations. Absolutely. That happened today, in fact. This is breaking news that we're announcing here on the radio.
Live at WFHB first.
Your exclusive source for when the Bloomington Playwrights Project is sold out.
We're going to hold you to that. Absolutely.
So one thing, I love The Truman Show, the movie. Obviously, it came out in like 98. So the world wasn't than what it is today as far as how much personal stuff is just out there that people are purposely exposing to the world. Back then it was our like hip reality shows like MTV Real World kind of things. I think that was the reality as it got back then. But I still remember it being a big commentary on the world around us even at that time in 98. So I guess let's start with talking about, is this play still relevant though? It's kind of a leading question.
Well, I'd say it's more relevant now than ever. I mean, when this came out in 1998, the Jim Carrey movie did. I was managing a movie theater at the time, and it was it was without a doubt my favorite movie of the year. Had the coolest movie poster, and it was just it was kind of revolutionary at the time. The story was so different than every other formula that was happening. And it was talking about this real world stuff that didn't take hold. I mean, in 98, I think it was just MTV's Real World, but we didn't have, you know, The Bachelorette and all these other kinds of, sort of spying on your life scenarios. And so now we're talking 14 years later, we have something that we're commenting on that's not a prediction of the future, but it is now looking back and saying, you know what? This is what our society's like. This is actually, building that Truman Dome in this world is not totally irrational. Like, we could do that if we really wanted to put our resources to it. So I think it actually is extremely pertinent. And the musical and a theatrical version has an ability to tell the story in a different way and